I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Hari Om, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a very interesting show for you this evening, and we'll be trying to do a sort of compilation of basic teachings from Bashar, as well as talking about peace, consciousness, and I think you'll find that there's always a new twist and a new angle to the information that we present on ET Yoga. And typically during a normal week, I get a number of emails, and the majority of the information this week was in the area of consciousness and expansion of consciousness. And I'd like to start the show off that way, addressing some of the questions in that particular area. For example, in the old days, I guess, the Baba Ram Dass days in the 60s, lots of talk about consciousness expansion, and I think really the key point here, and especially in the Ram Dass teachings, was what he called the planting of the seed. And basically what he called the planting of the seed was when a person realizes that they have the possibility of attaining a oneness with their higher self or higher consciousness. And certainly as we're approaching the magical year of 2012, and ascension is a hot topic these days, I think that clearly that concept comes to fore. Because if you don't know of the possibility of attaining a certain level of awareness, then it pretty much makes it impossible. So the other connection there that I think that really that humanity as a whole needs to make is that there's probably as much difference between humans and their levels of consciousness as there is between different species. And this whole idea of conscious completion is what I call it. In other words, the level of awareness or consciousness when you first make the discovery of higher levels of consciousness, and the process of expansion and the process of ultimately becoming one with that level. And with respect to that, I think there seems to be a lot of, certainly a lot of people that just have the conception, because we view the world the way we see the world, that everybody has the same level of awareness here. And also, I guess because of maybe because of religious teachings or whatever, there has been clearly, you know, a focus away from the self-empowerment aspect and the less of a focus on the possibility of this actually happening and this whole process happening. And also when I look at the teachings that I had been exposed to with respect to Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Swami Satchidananda, and talking about the yogic chakras. And by the way, from what I understand, in the last two or three years, apparently there has been some scientific proof now that those chakras do exist. So it's not so much of a theoretical concept anymore, but a practical one. And I know when there has been correlation made to the different chakras, or the seven in the physical body, of the first one being instinctive, somewhat like survival modes, the second one being sexual, the third being power, and the fourth being that point of planting of the seed, where there is an awareness of higher consciousness, and the fifth being more of energy that's directed towards the integration of all aspects of a person's life toward that goal, because once that seed's planted, it's planted and it will produce a crop. And the sixth chakra I've always equated with the opening of the ajna center or the pineal gland, and the seventh a flipping from being to knowing. And so when you're functioning in a particular chakra more than in another one, that develops in my mind a center or a center of gravity. And I think this whole concept is really important because I think there are several lessons that humanity clearly needs to learn. And in my way of thinking, one of those is clearly our respect for life, because we see so much violence being reflected in the outer reality. And a sort of a numbness with respect to the taking of human life. And the other concept that I think is coming about through the extraterrestrial teachings is the concept of not going against negative energy. In other words, when you go against negative energy, it perpetuates its existence and actually produces the effects that we do not really prefer. And what we assume through our television and movies and educational systems that when we overcome a negative or overpower it, that somehow that changes that energy. But the only way to really make change is to focus in a positive direction and create a new outer experience. And I think analogous to that would be the situation that we're in now, where I think there are a relatively small portion of the population that is sort of the blueprint of the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And there's no doubt in my mind that as a species, we're actually, you know, mutating into something more approximating our true intent with respect to the DNA factors in our systems. And one of the, I guess, physical reflections of that has been the children of AIDS. And I know Dronvalo Melchizedek has talked about the children of AIDS and the psychic children of China. And if you haven't heard about that, I'm just going to touch upon that briefly. Apparently, there was a young child in the United States, in California, because some of the research apparently was done at UCLA. And this particular child had been diagnosed with AIDS at age 3 and 4 and 5, and then all of a sudden at age 6, the AIDS was gone. And no trace of it. So they did some research to find out why that was so. And apparently what they found out was that this particular child was not only immune from AIDS, but immune from all disease. Apparently they put his DNA in a dish with 2 and 3,000 times the normal doses of AIDS virus, cancer cells, everything else in there, and he was immune to disease. So they did some checking into his DNA and apparently found out that he had 4 codons of DNA activated that were not activated in the, you know, general population. And not only did they find this was one person, but also thousands of other kids similar in nature. So clearly, to me, this is also a beautiful example of something really positive that came from the, I guess, from an outer judgmental point of view or awareness point of view, a negative thing with respect to the disease called AIDS, but something beautiful that came from it. And gives a really good example of putting a positive spin on anything that even is, you know, perceived in a negative way. But I think more importantly, it also shows that a transformation in the human DNA. And the psychic children of China, in fact, I was having a discussion with someone the other night, and we just punched up on the Google search engines, super psychics of China, the super psychic children of China. And apparently this has been something that's been going on for the last, 20 years or so, that they were identifying these kids and doing extensive research into some of their phenomenal abilities. And among those abilities was the ability to put physical objects through other physical objects, like putting a coin through a glass, removing cigarettes from a carton without touching the table. This was all done mentally. And, of course, this changes the concept of reality, or what can be done in our 3D experience. And I don't see these events being highly publicized, but apparently there is something like 100,000 of these children in China, which is just, to me, just utterly mind-boggling. And it also, the effect is also happening in other parts of the world through the, through the 100th monkey effect. And if you haven't heard about that, that was the experiment that they did with monkeys, washing potatoes. And they taught a technique to one monkey, and it was passed on from monkey to monkey on a particular island. But when the number reached a certain critical point where that 100th monkey, they call it, learned the concept, it actually spread the concept to islands that weren't in the near vicinity. And so this is, I think, a phenomenal event with respect to the way that mass consciousness works. And when a number of people achieve and understand a concept, then it does get spread to the general masses. And this is just an amazing phenomena, I think, and one of the more amazing discoveries that's come about in recent times. And it also, I think, gives credibility to the fact that, yes, certainly each of us clearly matters in creating a core of people that understand the concepts of consciousness and the expansion of consciousness. And certainly, to my way of thinking, the great teachings of the ancient yogis, you know, clearly identified this process. But to my understanding, some of the teachings from the Pleiadians and Esasani, in particular Bashar, have really, taken the yogic material and really given us a lot of new information and very self-empowering information. And get into some of the Bashar teachings and give you an idea of what I'm talking about there. One of the first ones that I think is obvious was the fact that we do create our outer reality or our outer experience in 3D. And in all the yogic teachings, I've never come across this. That's personally in my background, primarily the Ram Dass material, Sri Ramana Maharshi, Paramahansa Yogananda, and Sri Swami Sachidananda, among others. But those were that's the core sort of group that I have been influenced by. And when I came across the first Pleiadian information in Bringers of the Dawn, I just thought that, wow, there's some amazing concepts here. And then over the course of time, especially through the Bashar material, he's gone into a lot of specifics into exactly how we go about reprogramming our beliefs and becoming more aware of what our beliefs are, how they're reflected in our outer reality, and using the example of a mirror. And basically, Bashar says that our outer experience is a perfect reflection of our inner beliefs and definitions and emotions. And it's actually a little bit different than the mirror we look to in the say in the morning in your bathroom, but it's more of a holographic mirror. And I think that's the foundational part of all the extraterrestrial, at least what I called it, the positive extraterrestrial influence on the planet, has been the concept that thought creates, and that the thought's the father of all action. And I think this is the huge, huge concept, and it so ties in with the all the yogic teachings. And further to that, when people start on a self-quest, a self-search, the motivation towards enlightenment or whatever label the person uses, Bashara says that self-valuation is really critical, and that it is a process whereby the person feels, has a feeling of being loved, and clearly so many, or maybe all of the negative things that do occur in the world are because of a lack of love. But the self-valuation, Bashara says, is so critical because in his opinion, a lot of the techniques have minimal results if there's not this basic core feeling of being loved. And he actually goes further in that regard to state that there are only two objective facts in the universe. And those two objective facts are that we have consciousness and that we were all created from unconditional love. So that the energy of creation coming from the higher levels, and you can call that prime creator, you could call it God, cosmic awareness, Christ consciousness, whatever level that you want to label the higher level. I know according to Satchinanda, he'd always say that as many minds as many gods, because it was kind of like the finite mind can't define the infinite. So each mind has its own experience or conception of that idea. And in the Bashara teachings, he talks about the unconditional love of God and how that energy supports us in all our beliefs, because our beliefs are supported in our outer reflection. And even to the extent that we can choose to believe that we're not loved, that's how much the unconditional energy loves us. So I think that's clearly the starting point of all the techniques, be they yogic or extraterrestrial. Another one of the Bashara concepts is that you need to tune into the frequency you want to experience. And he kind of equates that to a radio station where all the radio stations already exist, and you choose the one that you want to listen to and or experience. And basically this gets into a lot of the quantum physics discoveries in alternate universes and parallel universes, etc. And Bashara would actually has a nice touch on the word universe, beginning with you. And basically, he's given an example that if 20 people are in a room, it's not 20 people in the same room, it's actually 20 people in 20 different rooms, because we each are in our own universe, and we actually agree to the common experience at some level. And that's what gives the idea of a consensus reality. In point of fact, in Bashara's teachings, he actually says there is no objective reality. Now, our reality is our own individual experience. And he also, another one of the nice, I think really key quotes in the Bashara system is that he talks about you can't experience what you're not the vibration or the frequency of. So that when you are a particular frequency and all of our beliefs and all our definitions all have a frequency, and that frequency is what gets reflected in the outer experience. The outer circumstances is another one of the key teachings, I believe, of the Bashar material, and I've looked over most of this over the course of the past 25 years that Daryl Anka has been channeling Bashar. And for those of it that are not familiar with Bashar, Bashar presents himself as an extraterrestrial and from the Esasani civilization and from a time frame 2,700 years in our future. Now, you can accept that or not. The facts, I guess, are that you listen, or the main idea is to listen to his information and then make up your own mind whether or not it's valid or not for you. And if if it's not valid for you, then you find your information someplace else. And that's basically the attitude that Daryl takes and also that Bashar takes when he comes through Daryl. They're not trying to convince people that, he's extraterrestrial because there's just no proving that. But it's the information that's the focus. And clearly many people around the world over the last 25 years have found his information to be so self-empowering and beneficial to their lives that they want as much of that information as they can find. And his idea there about the outer circumstances is that they don't come with built-in meaning. So that he's basically saying that all outer circumstances are neutral. And I know we've been conditioned to believe that everybody experiences a certain event in the same way. But if you really think about it, just like our, different types of food would be either repulsive or a positive experience to certain individuals, events are the same. And if you really give it thought and focus on it, you realize that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning. We place value judgments on these circumstances and thus from those definitions and opinions create an emotion or a feeling. And when we have a negative feeling, it's because of a negative belief. And in that respect, he gives a very, very powerful technique, and basically the concept goes as this. When you put a positive emotional spin or a positive belief, connect it to the outer circumstance, the result is a positive experience. When you place a negative or a detrimental emotional spin on the outer circumstance, the experience is negative. And I guess I don't know how many weeks on ET Yoga that I put out the challenge out there for people to try that technique, because it I think when you try it and you stick with it, you'll find that it's just mind-blowing because it works. So again, another one of the real, I think, jewels of knowledge that's come from Bashar, because I've never read about that concept anyplace else. And it may exist out there somewhere, but that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning, I've never heard it from any other source. Another of the really interesting Bashar concepts is that the human body is an amazing, amazing healing machine. And he even says that it has the capacity to heal 99.99% of all disease. And, of course, he also, I guess the fine print on that is that the capacity is one thing, but the actual physical ability is another. And he gives the analogy that toxicity gets lodged in our system in a way that diminishes the power of the immune system to function properly. And I guess taking that a step further, Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California also has stated that in his experience, 85 to 90% of the symptoms that his patients experience can be eliminated with a thorough detoxification. And Bashar also confirms this, that the first real, step to optimizing the immune system is a thorough detoxification. And I know we're hearing more and more and more about the detox programs now on the radio and advertised. And I'm sure there's many valid sources for some of these materials, but interestingly enough, Bashar had made a point of actually recommending Dr. Schultz's programs, and he has the brain detox, the colon, liver, kidney, gallbladder, and the thorough detox in both of their material. They state 85% of all physical symptoms just go away. And before Dr. Schultz gets around to treating what the patient came in for originally, he starts everybody off on this program. And clearly the reason is because of the results. And Bashar would tack on to that the proper nutrients also in the body, because according to Dr. Schultz, every patient that he had ever encountered over a 20-year period had some deficiency of some kind, and thus he's also has what he calls superfood. And the combination of the detox and the superfood meets the Bashar requirement for helping the body to be able to do what it's meant to do and designed to do and has the DNA blueprint to do. And our world is so toxic these days that it clearly has, this diminishing, debilitating effect on the immune system. In fact, year after year after year of this buildup of toxicity in the system, you can only imagine that many people, their system is so overwhelmed with the toxicities that the body is just not able to perform. And I guess in my own mind, sometimes I've sat and tried to visualize what I thought would be a great idea for a health center. Well, I guess Dr. Schultz had a start on it, and that is that all patients would start off programs with thorough detoxification and proper nutrients in their body, and as well, instead of hospitals having, televisions all over the place, maybe it would be a great idea to have take a hint from Dr. Masaru Emoto's power of water and how the molecular structure of water is changed when positive emotion is put into the water, that all patients should be given water of this nature as just a starting point, like detox programs and like putting the proper nutrients into the body. And this doesn't really mean vitamin pills either. Apparently, if you really do the research on what vitamin pills are and what they're made of and how most of it, 80% of it or more, isn't even assimilated by the system. So I'm not talking about vitamin pills. I'm talking about superfood, natural organic substances that provide all the nutrients and vitamins, minerals that are necessary for the body to function optimally. And another one of the key teachings of Bashar is that that you can reprogram beliefs that you don't prefer. And this relates to the fact that all of us, from the time we're very young until, 6 or 7, we're spending so much time downloading the beliefs of our initial caregivers. And I think the proper attitude there is to thank our initial caregivers for all the good things and the positive beliefs that they've passed down to us, and also realize that some of those beliefs may not serve us anymore and that we need to go in, like into a computer, and reprogram some of those beliefs that are attracting situations in our outer life that we do not prefer. And again, this is all in the area of self-empowerment. And touching upon that health and self-empowerment in influences that, to my way of thinking, are would not be beneficial to the human immune system, as well as the toxicities in our environment, which would be included in such things as the chemical substances that are put in meat, the steroids, the artificial colorings that are used to make the meat red, which I understand are actually used to induce cancer in rat experiments. Hormones that are put into, injected also into the animals before they're killed for consumption. The pesticides that are put on fruits and vegetables. Genetically modified foods that apparently are creeping into the food chain at alarming rates. The hydration of foods, or radiation of fruits and vegetables when they cross from state to state. The fluorides in water. The mercury in immunization shots. And the lowering of the immune system frequency through television, and clearly the subliminal programming on television and when you are on the internet. So to me, these are not beneficial to the immune system. And with the connection to the concept that we started the program with reference to consciousness expansion, the very best meditation that I've ever heard was presented by Bashar, called the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation, that he describes as a doozy. And in my mind, it really is a doozy. And that's why on ET Yoga, actually, I gave my version of it. And my version of it, actually, if you're really interested in this, in the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation, it can be found at maxwellgreensight.com. And that's under the website called Healing the Known and the Unknown. So that's at Maxwell, as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, site.com. And I believe that one's actually the whole one-hour program of ET Yoga is available on that site in audio form that you can download on your computer for $19.95. It also has some other techniques, the Merkaba technique, the Sri Ramana Maharshi Who Am I technique, some specifics on the suggestions by the Pleiadians around techniques that you can use to maximize your spiritual growth, and also this XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. And to my way of thinking, actually in Bashar's statement as well, that this is a meditation that actually helps to expand your consciousness and helps you to be in a place where you can receive energy from any source in the universe. And I highly, highly recommend, I know the only two places I know where you find that is that the XYZ meditation was given on, I think it was side four of a workshop that Bashar did on channeling. So if you're at the www.bashar.org website, you could find his workshop on channeling. And it does appear, I think, on side four, of, at least if you have the cassette tapes. And the other place that I know of that it's available is on my website. And it's a doozy. And the other actual technique that Bashar teaches that I think is just the most powerful that I've ever had the pleasure to do is his program around transforming core beliefs. And it's about a it takes about 15 minutes a day, and it's a he suggests about a 90-day period, but there's no describing it on the radio. But when you finish the program, it basically what it does, it transforms core beliefs and places you in a position where positive synchronicity just abounds. And moving on to, I guess, what I would call maybe one of the fundamental principles of the Bashar information is taking 100% responsibility for your life. And I know this is really a hard one for the average person because the average person spends so much time blaming and criticizing and complaining that... you know, it's really ironic that the only person, if you want to, and you really don't want to be blaming yourself, responsibility, I know in our society, sometimes has the connotation that it's blame, but it's not. It's the ability to respond. And it's so ironic that the outer reflection, we're creating it. So, you know, what you complain about, it's actually what you're creating. You know, no, it's so funny in a way that when you gain the perspective of this, that you realize that, as Bashar has pointed out, that victimhood consciousness is rooted in three basic attitudes. And one is blame. When you blame, you create yourself as a victim. When you criticize or justify your circumstance, these are all characteristic features of victimhood. And to my way of thinking, you know, you can. There's only two ways you can look at your outer experience. It's either all happening at random and there's no rhyme or reason to it, or it's happening for a reason and you're responsible for it. So you have the only choice here is if you don't take responsibility, then you're a victim. So do you want to take responsibility or do you want to be a victim? Like I've looked at this a number of times and I don't see any other choices there. Like if you're not responsible, then who is? So, you know, if you want to take the attitude that, you know, you got one life and you're in the ground and that's it and there's no you know, reincarnation doesn't exist, that you don't carry over consciousness from one lifetime to the other, and you know, have no control over your outer reality or the ability to create that outer reality, and you're totally powerless and a victim, well, then, you know, that's your choice. Well, then you just take it. But, you know, I think there's a lot of us here on the planet that are starting to realize that, you know, we were gifted with phenomenal DNA, and we have amazing, amazing abilities, and we're amazing, powerful beings, and we're starting to learn the steps about how to become more of who we really are. And it all starts with taking 100% responsibility for your life. And just to give an example of that, let's just say somebody, you know, you want to go out in the parking lot, you know, and where you live, and somebody just smashed one of your doors in. I know it's a hard connection, but, you know, we're co-creators of everything. 100% means everything. You know, I mean, technically, the other person maybe did it, but guess what? That didn't happen. There are no accidents. There's a reason. And if you're finding you're attracting that kind of situation, you need to really start checking out your belief systems, because your beliefs attract the outer circumstance. And until we start cluing in and taking responsibility, then we function in this blame mentality, which just creates victims and victimizers. Now, in regard to that as well, I think this whole concept of judgment, you know, you can be aware but you don't need to be in judgment. In fact, Bashar has stated that, you know, the more that you advance spiritually, the more you will actually become aware of the dark side, because the whole concept of spirituality is one of connectedness, and it's not one of exclusivity. It's an integration of both the light and the dark, and clearly judgment is what gets us into all the problems. In fact, we've done a number of shows on ET Yoga where we've talked about the fact that you know, judgment is the root cause of disease, because disease is all emotional, it's dysfunctional emotions that have the root cause in guilt and blame and negative emotion. And the whole concept of judgment is one that I find I struggle with the most as well, because it's so natural to make judgmental opinions about certain circumstances or people, when in point of fact, in calmer moments, we realize that none of us has the right to judge anybody. We've all been there, and we don't have a right to judge anybody else's spot on the continuum of evolution or in consciousness, or we don't have to agree with their behavior, but we don't have a right to judge them. And it's almost similar to that concept about with children. It's not that we don't like the children. It's that we may not like some of the behavior. And in that connection, Bashar also has an amazing take on fear. And he basically says you need to make a friend of fear. And if you really go into self-empowerment, actually, in order to become totally self-empowered, we need to conquer, actually, fear in a way, because all fear is illusion, and we need to actually peel away all the illusion that's in our life. And fear, all fear, is based on some misconception of the truth, because when you channel energy through positive beliefs and definitions, there is only one result, and those are positive reflections, love, joy, excitement. Those are the results of channeling energy through positive beliefs. When you channel energy through negative beliefs, which to me all equate to fear, the result is negative, inharmonious synchronicity. And the emotions like anger and all those negative types of emotional connections. So this is the other aspect of this that Bashar says is so important, and that is to follow your joy and your excitement, because it is your compass that tells you that you're in alignment with your higher self. And those beliefs that are in alignment with your higher self, and specifically emotions of unconditional love, gratitude, appreciation, compassion, not only are these more in alignment with your higher self, but they're also coincidentally the emotions that make people immune from disease. These are the characteristics of the people that have the extra codons in their DNA activated, as well as scientific experiments have been done, and people who emit these emotions boost their immune systems to phenomenal levels. So following your joy, and the other thing about following your joy that it's been my experience is that when you're following your joy, especially in the workplace, because I know so many people do work at jobs that they've had to take, or, you know, they took to just to make money a long time ago, but they ended up getting, you know, stuck in these jobs, and they didn't really follow their life's passion, you know, that, and maybe they felt they couldn't make a living at their passion, and I know Bashar has stated that even if you can't immediately because of your beliefs, start doing something in that direction every day, even if it's a little thing. And eventually it will snowball into more and more and more time, and more connections will happen from that. And what I've always found and I've always wanted for young people was to do something that they love to do, because that's the area when time flies. That's the area we have less stress on the job. That's the area where you have a gift, that we all have a gift to offer. And if you're not in that area, then we all don't benefit from the gift. So if it's playing the piano, telling jokes, I don't, whatever it is you really love to do, my advice is do it. And also, an interesting concept that Bashar, has come out with in the last year was that to function as a holistic being, the higher self and the brain and the rational mind and their roles. And he has basically stated that the higher self is the conceiver of ideas. These are the intuitions. These are the urges that we get. And the brain is the receiver of those ideas and the information and translates that information. And the rational mind is actually the perceiver of things, as in perceived, as in past tense. And I think this is really a great concept, because I know so many of us, if you feel like you're in a situation where nothing's changing, you're kind of in cement, everything's kind of bogged down. I think one of the things you can look at when those situations come up is that you're trying to do too much with the rational mind. The rational mind is not capable of knowing the how of things. You can't figure it all out. We can try to visualize the what, but not the how. That's the job of the higher self. The higher self knows the how. It's sort of at the top of the valley that can see the terrain, and the rational mind's kind of like down at the bottom, and it really needs that connection with the higher self. And apparently that's, what sleep's all about. That, during sleep, that's when we connect with the higher self. And of course, during the day, depending on your level of consciousness, the connection is, more or less there. And according to Bashar, he doesn't sleep. So, maybe there's something to be said there, that at the point at which you actually are functioning in total unity with your higher self, there's that possibility is probably true as well, that we don't need sleep at that point. And he goes on to actually mention that one of the key roles of the rational thinking mind is to put a positive spin on outer circumstances. I mean, and this is what I call on ET Yoga, stacking the deck of life in your favor, that when those outer circumstances come, throw a positive spin on them, because positive experience is what's going to come from it. And even though, you might be the only one out of 20 people putting a positive spin on a certain circumstance, try the technique. And he goes further that if you want to stay on the cutting edge of consciousness during these times of ascension, the one of the key things in doing that is to keep in mind that outer circumstances don't matter. Only your state of being matters. And he's saying that this is actually a mantra and a communication to and from your higher self in language that the rational mind can understand. So outer circumstances don't matter. Not that they don't matter in the terms that they're trivial, but in the terms that they don't create further experience. What creates the further experience are the emotions. And this has actually been proven by scientifically, that the brain in the heart is actually 5,000 times stronger than the brain in the head. So those emotions that you're putting out, I mean, these are what create the outer reflection. And further to that statement of the outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters, then you state, what state of being do I prefer? So if you prefer the state of joy, then look at a situation from that perspective and act on it. And if you're having some difficulty with that, you know, sit down, take some time, and imagine how you would behave if you were in a state of joy dealing with this situation. And what you see in your mind, that's the behavior to copy. Because the imagination is a powerful, powerful tool in connecting with the higher mind or your higher self. So one of the interesting observations of Bashar is talking about our motivational system and what does motivate us. And he basically says that our motivation has two parts to it, that you will always do what you perceive to be the choice that is closest to pleasure and furthest from pain. Now, that doesn't mean that objectively that's true. I mean, we may perceive in a certain event that is closer to pleasure that in reality or objectively is not a positive. But he says, that's the basis of our motivation, that we always choose what we perceive to be the choice that is closest to pleasure and furthest from pain. And I think that's kind of interesting that this whole concept about motivation, because, you know, I find in most areas, you know, motivation's key. You want to quit smoking. You want to quit some habit. And by the way, a lovely definition of habit by Bashar. Habit, once you're aware of it, it's not a habit anymore. It's a choice. I really like that because so many of us think the definition of a habit is something that we have that we can't quit doing. But in his definition, it's a habit. Once you're aware of it, isn't a habit anymore. You know, once you're aware of it, it's and you want to change it, you can change it immediately. And of course, some of us believe that we have to go through a lot of elaborate steps or sequences in order to actually achieve that objective. But in point of fact, it's not objectively true. We can make the decision and change immediately. Another one that I think is comes to mind about amazing quotes from Bashar is his definition of abundance. An abundance basically being the ability to do what you want to do when you need to do it. And if you'll notice there wasn't any mention about money. I know most of us, when we think of abundance, the first thing that comes to mind is money. But he's basically saying that, you know, there's all kinds of avenues that lead to us that are in the area of abundance. And if we're only thinking of it coming from one area, which is money, then we close the doors to those other avenues. And it's very important to open yourself up to all the possibilities that exist. It could be in the synchronicities. It doesn't always have to be something, you know, related to money. And I think that's a huge, huge concept to understand, that we tend to channel and cut off our own abundance through that false belief. He also has an interesting take on the fact, I know many of us, you know, are appreciative and want to make a difference in the world and have an impact. And Bashar, I think, has a really nice quote there. He says that just by being here, we're already making the maximum amount of impact that we can have. But when you follow your joy and you are doing something that is in that area, especially in terms of vocation, that the difference there becomes that other people become aware of the fact of the impact that you're already having. So I think that's quite a nice take on that. Now, of course, in a lot of the Bashar material, he certainly does touch upon the first contact and first contact scenarios. And in that respect, I was part, and in fact, I was a chairperson of the committee that came up with the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act. And actually, you can see a copy of that at Bashar.org, www.bashar.org. And this is was actually instigated through a transmission from Bashar with respect to getting people to want open contact with peaceful extraterrestrials, and also the protocols that would take place, at least future contact, let's put it that way, with extraterrestrials that would follow a certain protocol by government, and that it would be a process of public awareness. And you can read all the details there, but I think the most important information that Bashar has passed down to us has been in the area of talking about the civilization that's to have first contact. And I don't see this, out there. I guess this is going to be one of those that I keep saying it's kind of like The Secret. Bashar was teaching all the concepts that are in The Secret 25 years ago. I personally believe that all the information, I know, like even through the Abraham Hicks group Marilyn the Magician and all this kind of stuff, I know that maybe some of them think the information came from them, but I believe that the Bashar was the source of all that. And if you go back 25 years ago to when Daryl Anka was doing the transmissions through Bashar, none of this other information was out there. So in my opinion, Bashar was the first to talk about this kind of information. And I think similarly, about 20 years from now, people are going to look back and they're going to say, oh yeah, Bashar, gee, I wonder, there's that name popping up again. He was the first one that talked about public first contact, and what group it would be. And he's saying it's a group called the Shalanaya. So the Shalanaya, in Bashar's, information will be the first group to have open public contact, and that really the Earth is in many ways kind of like the time at which Columbus was discovering the New World. We're going to become aware that we are trial members in the Association of Worlds, and that eventually we will have full membership. Bashar states that that'll be somewhere around the year 2035. And if you follow some of the Bashar material, he actually goes into a lot of specifics and specific dates. Not that he's, stating everything. And of course, there's contact in varying ways happening all the time and has throughout history. But kind of like Columbus got credit for discovering America, there will be some event that will be the official first public contact with extraterrestrials. And I know as much as this subject has been poo-pooed and ridiculed over the course of the last couple decades, the fact of the matter is that more and more people are becoming aware of the fact that, yes, extraterrestrials are not only visiting us but impacting us, influencing us, and that there are varying groups of extraterrestrials with varying different agendas. Now, with respect to the Shalanaya, he has stated that the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights is actually on board those craft are Shalanaya. And apparently the Phoenix Lights, there was a craft that was about a mile in length, wedge-shaped, that hovered over the city of Phoenix for several hours. And he states that in 2010 that the Shalanaya will again be making an appearance in Arizona. He further states that in 2012 that the Shalania will also be making similar appearances at sacred sites around the Earth. So that's the latest information that I'm aware of with respect to the Bashar information and the Shalania. And I think this is certainly the most fascinating area of extraterrestrial life, and also what specifically, you know, Bashar has passed on about that. And so I would like to, at this point, wish everyone full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance according to the definition of Bashar. And I hope you'll tune in again next week. Good night.